CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, we're here. We're live. It's all happening. CliffCentral.com on a Thursday morning. This morning with Pumi Mashiro, Sia Sangweni, Gareth Cliff, and you. I saw this great clip on... I'm going to see if I can't find it for you. You know the guy who does all those voices? Like, you know, he came into a world where no one understood him. Yeah, that voiceover, it's not Weza, but it's close. It's a dude who's like, I think his name is Red Pepper, and he tells the whole story. Okay. What's that, Sia?
Okay. I didn't know his name, actually.
Yeah, he's a good name. He's from England. He used to drive a train on the underground. And one morning he went on and said, approaching whatever it was, station. And one of the people on the train was a TV producer, and he heard this and he thought, whoa, that guy has a voice. I need to know who that is. So this guy got out of the train at the next stop and ran up to the front car, said to the guy, you got to give me your number right now. So he gave him his number, and he ended up doing all those voiceovers for those famous movies like Men in Black, you know. The universe was full of danger. Will Smith came to everyone's rescue. That guy. So I'll see if I can play that clip for you later. But what a cool story. Just shows you, you could be a train driver and you think, my life's pretty ordinary. And someone hears you on the announcements and they go, this person needs to work with me in television or whatever.
And then this just proves how warped my sense of reality is and how a bit of a loser I am. You know, growing up as a pop culture junkie, I watched a lot of these E! True Hollywood stories.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were about like models or actors. I think like Robert Pattinson, the Twilight guy, was discovered just at a market or something. And like an agent looked at him and said, you, I want you in my movie. Or these models who are just like walking in a mall and then someone approached them. I would always just walk out of the house thinking, is today the day?
Today's the day they discover
you. Would you be performing? Would you be walking everywhere performing in the hopes that somebody would touch you?
I just think I'd be at the grocery store grabbing broccoli for my mother and someone will say, young man, you.
The way you touch that broccoli.
That happened to Charlize Theron, famously.
Years later, I'm still waiting.
I mean, didn't Charlize Theron? She went to the bank and she had a temper tantrum and she started shouting at the manager. And there was someone in the bank who recognized this woman's talent. They're like, "Yo, she is fiery as hell. I'm going to hire her."
But she was already there as a model and learning, you know, wanting to be an actress. She wasn't just
hanging around like
and nobody in the bank.
Right.
That's the other thing. Like the other thing they don't tell you in all of those stories is that this person was already on that path.
Yeah.
They were already like trying to be a star. So
that's the point. It doesn't just
except for the train driver, of course.
Yeah, but it doesn't really just happen all that often for most of us. For most of us it's never gonna happen, especially if you live in like Joburg, you know. It's. I hate to say it, but the truth is...
Joburg, at least there's still some chance. Like,
if you live in Joburg and Cape Town, it could happen.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps, but a very, very slim chance. All right, so a few things. First of all, if I don't do this, I get into trouble with management. And even though I am management, I still get into trouble, believe it or not. So I need to remind you.
It's good that you hold yourself accountable.
Other people do as well. So here it is. Like and subscribe to all of our stuff on YouTube. Otherwise, we're wasting our time here.
You see?
Yeah.
Michelle comes on every morning and says, done the deed.
Mm-hmm.
Already good. Liked.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
We love Michelle.
Thank you very much, Michelle. There we go. She's doing the work. She's doing the hard work. Thank you very much. Already liked and subscribed. Good vibes. Elbow cough. Booyah. Damn right.
Elbow cough.
Mm-hmm. Elbow cough. All of it. She's taking care of the lot. So that's the one thing. The other thing is that we had a meeting yesterday, and you know the TV show is coming up for a year. It'll have been a year that we've been doing that show on ENCA at the end of June. And we want to know what you think we should do for our last few shows. Because we don't know. We might go on a break. We might can the show in its current format and come up with something else. So we want to know if you've got any ideas for who we should have or what we should have on those last few shows, because it's June now. I mean, it's, you know, next week is June. So yeah, if you have any ideas, then you can email us that, because we're going to do the last four shows in this current format, and we want to know what you think they should be about and who we should have on. So gareth@cliffcentral.com. I'd like to know what you, what you're thinking about that, and whether or not you, you're enjoying it, so we know what to do when we put together something else. We might just even
keep doing.
Yeah. And what we should also do in terms of maybe taking it to the internet, because one of the frustrations I've had is that with ENCA, they haven't wanted to put it on YouTube. And I think you're missing out on a huge, huge audience. That's like saying, well, no, we'd rather not go on TV. We'd rather just be doing something to a small studio audience in my house. You know, it would be that, because by comparison with the world of viewers and potential viewers, which we're obviously accessing now and every morning on this show, it might be nice to do something slightly different there too. So any ideas you have, you let us know. We want to hear all about it from you.
Because Lord knows it just worked out well that we had Carl Niehaus yesterday.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
Craziness of a week.
So, I mean,
I need to hear about that.
Okay, so we'll tell you the behind-the-scenes story, but just to give you the news story, Carl Niehaus, obviously, big Jacob Zuma supporter, he was outside the court yesterday again with Tony Yengeni and Ace Makashule's people and, you know, all of them. But Carl Niehaus has been specifically called out by the ANC, by Jesse Duarte, for ill discipline. And he was boasting about what a disciplined cadre he was on the show last night. They've basically said, we may even throw him and Ace out for the way they're behaving at the moment. Also, they're busy starting to look slightly askance at Zihle Sigalala. Zihle Sigalala. Sorry, I mixed up the Z and the S.
That's exactly.
That's what I did. And then I also thought of Snooki Sigalala. Remember him?
Yes, he now leads the veterans what. So he's part of a group of there's lots of like workings behind the ANC machine.
You mean there's lots of you mean there's sheltered job employment. That's what there is.
It's Snooki and Matthew Morobe and like there's a whole lot of the old topies kind of like with their walking sticks whacking them at the Madalas.
I'm amazed that Thabo Mbeki made a bit of a return in the last couple of ANC meetings. He's suddenly being pulled out of retirement, much to his chagrin, I'm sure.
No, I didn't see that. Where was he pulled out?
He hasn't appeared on TV, but behind the scenes at the National Working Committee and the National Executive Committee,
they've
asked him for advice.
He also took his walking stick and hobbled his way into
That's right.
Hobbled his way in just to be a wise elder.
Do you want to see Do you want to see a representation of what's going on at the ANC at the moment? One photograph?
Okay.
You ready?
Just one. Okay. Just one.
There we go. It's a whole bunch of rats. Just rats. Just a big ball of rats. They're all over each other. That's what the ANC looks like on the inside right now. Do you like that?
Ew.
Why is that disgusting?
It is so disgusting.
Ew.
Like, yeah, it's really revolting.
Ew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many questions about that picture.
I mean, I got this email this morning speaking about Carl Niehaus from Celeste. She says, I just watched the show tonight and I'm seriously questioning my life choices in doing so. I witnessed the honorable comrade bang the same old tired drum about the glorious liberation movement. He and so many others too drunk on the Kool-Aid that they've been scoffing. It has been 20 effing years, Celeste says, and they still think that they can fuck with our more than two brain cells. Whom are we needing liberation from if not the ANC? How can he claim that his support of the ANC cadres is based on his allegiance to the values of the ANC, but at the same time, that even though the overwhelming majority of the same ANC may be corrupt, the party can be judged accordingly? It's one or the other. It's not cognitive dissonance on my part to believe that. It may be that no opposition party currently in existence has the cojones to take them on right now, but please, they must be careful of the uprising and hiding, because they will be getting a hiding in the elections. Celeste just writes in these long sentences, so forgive me if it sounds like I don't know how to read. I'm voting for anything other than them. Save SA, Action SA, Purple Cow, Patriotic Alliance, whatever, she says. Enough of the pigs feeding at the trough, the past accolades and laurels of retired or deceased stalwarts. So you see, that's Celeste, and I don't think there are many people who would disagree with most of what she's saying there, except Carl Niehaus. Shame. Shame.
But the reality, though, is the ANC still has that pull.
Yeah.
And still can get people moving and the mass to show up. You know, yesterday afternoon, I had the TV on while I was working and actually had it on mute. But just the glimpses of what was happening in Pietermaritzburg with former President Zuma's trial had me so glued. I actually had to pause and get the volume up again. Thought, what am I actually seeing? The amount of people that came up to support
that were bussed in, you mean? Bussed in.
Yeah, explain. Well, you know, Pumi knows how this works. She's been around a long time. She knows how they put on a show. But it's all these people are bussed in. They're given a free meal or a T-shirt or both. And then they are told where to go. And if you ask any of them, and we've seen journalists do this before, they did it when Ace was first being taken on, and they were gathering in Bloemfontein, and they came in buses from Mpumalanga, wherever.
They did it in Senegal when there was the big Red Sea showing up.
Correct. And then when they ask them, why are you here? None of them know.
I'd love to know then what entices them. Perhaps it's not even just a sandwich to eat. Three-course meal. Because of how, you know, I thought, change their outfits up, and this could easily be a Justin Bieber concert. The way people were wailing and screaming and flailing their arms in the air. And it was...
Maybe not Justin Bieber. Coachella. Corruption Coachella. That is such a great term, Pums. Oh, I love that so much. A corruption Coachella.
It's not mine. I saw it on Twitter. Corruption Coachella.
Yes, that's clever.
Because also, all it took was 2 seconds before the former president went straight onto stage. By the way, he looks a little tired, in my opinion.
Did you hear him?
What did he say?
So, guys, and here's what a lot of people will never get about why he has this pull and pull. He gets up on that stage only in Zulu, right? Mm-hmm. He's in Pietermaritzburg. He says to the people in Zulu, you know what? This trial has been going on for 20 years. This whole thing, I've been dragged, and this is a farce. The case that they say they have, they don't have. Already this case has been dismissed in other courts, and yet here we are again. I am being victimized, all in Zulu. And I was just like, you see this guy, all those people are walking away from there going, the unfairness of this whole thing. And it's just unbelievable. The politicking of it.
You know, so Carl Niehaus's argument, and it sounds like Jacob Zuma's is the same, is, yeah, sure, we're bad, but there are other people who are bad too. Sia, Andy's just saying here, we are not streaming on the Cliff Central app, and I'm worried. I haven't got a response from Simpiwe, so I'm just concerned that the studio isn't necessarily perfectly online, and that would be a big problem.
Yeah.
So let's just see what's going on over there.
I'm back.
All right.
Thank you, Andy.
She is just messaging me now, so I think she is there, but let's just check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she says we are live. So, Andy, it might just be you. You know, we may have blocked you.
No.
Why would you do that?
We would never
Andy,
do that.
It's not you.
No, we would never do that. I'm just checking.
It's not you, Andy. It's never you.
So, a little bit of housekeeping, and really something to help one of the people who helped us when we just started. When we launched Cliff Central 7 years ago, you might remember, Pums, you were there. We were sitting on borrowed garden chairs when we started the business, remember? Now, thanks to Peter J.A. Stewart, they're a major importer of incredible high-quality furniture, and they provide many of the chairs that you may have sat on in restaurants. They are terrific. We got our first chairs, those black and yellow ones. Sia, you remember how much we used those in our colors?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, those chairs are still going strong. They've supported us all of these years. And like so many businesses, Peter J.A. Stewart went through a tough time, and we'd like to support them now, post-pandemic. They're having a major, major sale. They're clearing everything out, and it's open to the public. You can just walk in and buy off the warehouse floor at unbeatable prices. So they're in 5th Street in Weinberg. So opposite, over the highway on the other side of Sandton, basically. Weinberg, you can go there to 129 5th Street in Weinberg, Johannesburg. Just take down that address and just walk in. You can buy anything off the warehouse floor. They're selling everything must go. And they want you to go in and help yourself, and the prices are unbelievable. 129 5th Street in Weinberg in Johannesburg. Make sure you say Cliff Central sent you. The sale is on until the 28th, but will be extended for Cliff Central customers if necessary. It's an opportunity that may not come around again. That's Peter J.A. Stewart at 29 5th Street in Weinberg. It's not often that we get to
do help. They open on Saturdays?
I think they do. Yeah. And just drive in, go and see what you need. You know, a lot of people, because of working from home and all the rest of it, they might need
good chairs.
You need to have good stuff in your house now, because you need to be comfortable. You're working at your dining room table, or you've tried to sort out a corner of the house to be your study. Go and get some decent furniture, and these guys really have amazing stuff. So it's Peter J.A. Stewart there at 129 5th Street, Weinberg, Johannesburg. Unbeatable prices on now. So
Of us have accident with our coffee tables, so we do have to
visit. Sia, you could go and get a new coffee table from them. Go and check it out.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Very good idea.
All right. Msizi Kubega says, the ANC supporters are like Kaiser Chiefs supporters. Chiefs are playing trash football on the field, but they still have lots of supporters. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but maybe it is. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's lost on me. I don't really know how Chiefs is doing. Yeah. Evidently,
so. You don't watch soccer? You don't watch soccer? All those men running around in shorts with those thick thighs. Wow.
He's so not into sport. It's so funny. By the way, speaking of people who are not what they should be, I've got to show you this. Someone sent me this morning, and it's the most hilarious thing. So it's obviously a dig at...
Where is this going? What is the segue?
Listen, it's like a dig at Prince Harry. Look here.
Oh, gosh.
Princes then, I will set France ablaze. Princes now, hello, Oprah. Yeah, it's about right. And Harry and Oprah are doing another episode of their fucking show, apparently, the two of them.
I'm going to say this, please hear me out objectively. Please do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you,
okay.
The child?
I'll hear you out. Go for it. Go on.
They have this new series, this documentary series that they co-produce and co-created for Apple TV Plus, and it's about mental health and mental wellness. Jeez, it's really good. Take Oprah and Harry, Prince Harry, out of it, because they profile different people and talk about, you know, it's about the spectrum of mental health and different mental disorders. It's the first time I've thought of these different disorders in that way. It is shot really well. They explain, like, you know, I think a lot of us know about OCD and compulsive behavior, but the way they profile this one particular boxer, I thought, whoa, like it gave whole new insight. So just saying.
What's the name of the show now that you've given it such a good ad?
Thanks, an objective one at that. It's called The Me You Can't See. Really, really good.
Yeah, I'll, you know what?
Where is it?
I, I'll watch it because
Gareth is already
no, no, no.
Where is it? Where is it, Sia? Where's the
it's
show?
It's on Apple TV. Apple TV Plus.
Okay, so I've got Apple TV, so I'll watch it because I do. I am interested in mental health, right? I am interested in, and we've always had long before this became trendy, long before people started to talk about this. We used to compare physical and mental illness and say, well, why does one get attention and the other one doesn't? Ages ago, right? I just want to prove to everybody we were way ahead of Oprah Winfrey and Harry, Prince Harry on this. So it is something I'm interested in. It is something I care about. But I think those two, to me, they just poison the well because I can't take either of them terribly seriously. I do think we live in a world that's upside down. You know, the tough people, the ones who would have every excuse to complain about how hard their lives are. Poor people who live and work and try to scrape together a living for their children and have come from abusive households and poverty and neglect and deprivation. They're the ones who just carry on. And yet you've got this spoiled little prince who the most horrible thing that happened to him is that his famous mother died and everybody else watched. And of course, that's a horrible thing to happen to anybody. But now he's the world's biggest victim. And you hear people in America going on about how, you know, they've gone through such trauma because their mom didn't buy them a train set when they were five or whatever. And you see seriously hardworking, tough people. Like we were talking about the Congo the other day where there's a volcano erupting. And, you know, the people of the Congo, they every day is just an onslaught. You think about India and what's going on there at the moment with coronavirus and cyclones and, you know, those people are not the ones who are lining up outside the psychologist's office to get to deal with things that are just so traumatic to them. The first world is full of the weakest fucking people you've ever seen in your life. And while I have absolute sympathy for those who are dealing with serious mental health issues, and there are a lot of people who are, there are so many weak people who are just using this to look for attention. And Prince Harry is at the front of that queue. I have zero sympathy for that little piece of shit. And you know, this is a guy who actually he put on a uniform and he went and he fought and he knows what it's like to be in real danger and he knows what the world can be like. He's seen Afghanistan, which is easily one of the shittiest places on earth. Don't tell me that in a space of 10 years he's become such a weakling he has to cozy up on the sofa next to Oprah Winfrey, another person who's forgotten what it's like to suffer because she's been living in absolute luxury for such a long time and she only knows celebrities and she only plants her vegetables. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And now that you've got that off your chest.
Yes.
I'm still going to watch
it. Now that you've got that off the chest.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Maybe we must do headlights. Just to give us a breather.
You know what? Thank God you're here to keep me on track. Wow. But you know, I think that the people who keep the wheels of society and the economy going, those people don't have time. They don't have time to sit down and worry about their mental health. Mothers who are running around, single moms who are trying to keep everything together. You have this guy living in a, I don't know, 25-bedroom house, and he's royal. His granny is the queen.
It's okay.
Oh, the trauma. Oh, I need to have 24-hour therapist on call.
Just breathe through it.
I'm not even that upset about it. It bothers me that we are living in a world where there's such tremendous difficulty for some people, and the ones who are complaining the most are the ones who have the best lives. You don't find that bizarre?
Are they complaining the most, or can
we just hear them because they've got the microphones?
Well, then we should take those microphones away from them.
Now you want to censor people.
Anyway, I mean, there are things that are hugely important. Let's get to those. So here are some headlines for you from EWN this morning. The DA has, this is their shadow minister of defense, Cobus Moore, has said that South Africa's National Defense Force has spent over R1 billion on Cuban engineers while we have our own mechanics. What are we doing to prop up the Cuban economy? Why are we doing this? I saw people losing their minds the other day about the Cuban doctors again, who were brought in during COVID. Do you remember that? And it cost us a lot of money. These guys can't speak English. They were brought in at the height of the pandemic last year because we're friends with Cuba. So we must employ their doctors because otherwise they're not going to have enough money to be able to pay their families back home. Now we're bringing in Cuban engineers. The government is outsourcing the Cubans to maintain and repair military equipment under Project Tusano. They were meant to be here for only 5 years. We've already passed that 5 years, and suddenly we find the Cubans are being used for weapons training, sharpshooting, and for whatever other purposes are needed in the Defense Force. And it's just unacceptable, said the DA's shadow minister for defense. And who can disagree? Can anyone give me a good reason why the Cubans are being given sheltered employment in South Africa? Don't we have an unemployment problem here ourselves? Don't we already have good engineers? And if we don't have enough engineers, why aren't we training them?
We just have to wait a couple of years. There'll be a commission of inquiry about the Cubans.
Yeah, you're right.
Just wait.
You're right.
just wait. Wait for it.
Put me exactly.
The commission
right.
is yeah. coming.
Wait for that. And then this.
Then we'll hear everything. Then we'll know exactly what went down.
So here's something great. I know you're going to love this too, and maybe we'll get to it in the Burning Platform later on. But former South African Revenue Service Commissioner Tom Moyane said that former President Jacob Zuma told him he was before he was appointed that he wanted him for that position. That's the president's prerogative, though, right? So nothing outrageous about that. He's been testifying at the state capture inquiry about his time at the Revenue Service. He said he didn't know whether Zuma's preference was the reason he was appointed. You've said in this affidavit that the president told you in strict confidence that he intended to support you for the position of SARS commissioner, for which you had applied, correct? Evidence leader advocate Alistair Franklin asked. Correct. Moyane replied. So apparently, Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo said that the then Minister of Finance, Pravin Gordhan, said the position was advertised and 120 people applied, but Zuma was not interested. He just wanted to appoint Tom Moyane. Well, we know what happened when Tom Moyane became the boss at SARS. SARS started to fall apart. And I'm sure billions have been lost to all kinds of tax evasion since Tom Moyane was appointed there. And now we've got what Edward Kiesvet is trying to fix it and trying to bring back investigative capacity and all of that stuff. Their systems are in disarray. So how well did that work out? Well, from a Jacob Zuma point of view, perfectly, because he could tell Tom to ignore X, Y, and Z and to pay attention to A, B, and C. So there's not much to comment on that we don't already know. Eskom has implemented stage one load shedding again, and this is between 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. on Wednesday. The power utility says it's due to a shortage of generation capacity resulting breakdowns. Blah, 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 blah. So there, just to let you know. You know, it's like an ongoing thing.
So
it's confirmed because with the first statement I saw was we could implement maybe stage one, maybe stage two. And I thought
did you have any load shedding last night or were you mostly safe?
I have no idea. I went to bed early.
Me too. former President Jacob Zuma is back at the Constitutional Court to appeal an estimated 10 million rand costs order against him. Now, he's appealing this cost order, right? 10 million rand for his legal fees. Why must we pay that? Who does he think he is that we must pay his legal fees?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Jacob Zuma has been on trial, awaiting trial, fighting a trial, all sorts of it, for like
decades.
More than 10 years.
Yeah.
More than 10 years. We have had 7 NPA heads. Mm-hmm. 7. And every single one of them have failed to hold this guy accountable, have failed to like bring him to it. It's unbelievable.
Well, either that means he's way smarter than them, or we're all much stupider than him. But either way, it's not good for us.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's been going on since Bulelani Ngcuka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he argues the cost order against him is incorrect, given that at the time he was acting in his capacity as the president. Well, you shouldn't have been involved in dodginess as the president, and we wouldn't have to be suing you, and you wouldn't have to pay this cost order for having tried to defend yourself and lost. That's why there's a cost order. U.S. President Joe Biden has ordered intelligence agencies to investigate the emergence of COVID-19 amid growing controversy about the virus's origins. So can we just stop the clock for a second here? Because I remember about 3 months ago, or not even, maybe even 3 weeks ago, if you had said Wuhan virus, China virus, lab, possible artificial creation of this virus in a facility in Wuhan, you would have been called all kinds of things. You'd be called a racist, you're anti-Chinese, you're trying to blame the Chinese for this virus. Do you remember all of that that we said and we got into trouble for saying it and people couldn't call it the China virus? And when Donald Trump did, he was roundly criticized by people. How could you call it that? And remember when he said in a press conference in, I think, March or April of last year, this thing seems to have and could have emerged from a virus or a facility, from a laboratory or a facility in Wuhan in China. And everybody said, you can't say that. It might have just emerged naturally. And how can you blame the Chinese? Well, it turns out that that's exactly what's happened. And now they're going to investigate. And of course, China is going to do whatever they can to sweep this under the carpet, right? And they're going to try to, just like they silenced people and doctors disappeared. So what was called a conspiracy theory
disappeared as well.
What's been called a conspiracy theory up to now and could have got you taken off of Facebook for spreading lies and disinformation and misinformation, you know, the kind of shit that some people in the media think it's their business to involve themselves in censorship. Now suddenly it's okay to say that. So okay that the president of the United States is saying it, but because he's a Democrat, it's fine that he says it. And they're now going to investigate. Now here's a chance for Joe Biden and for the whole world to hold China's feet to the fire. Because if it turns out that this could have come from a Chinese laboratory and could have come from their lack of care and diligence and a lack of structure and processes that may have led to this thing being not only made more virulent and more dangerous, but also having been released into the public, then China must pay. So here's a chance. Do it. Do it, Joe.
Happening. I don't see that happening. This is not like a bakery where someone's hair mistakenly fell into your croissant and you bit into it and you're complaining to the manager. Are we really going to get that level of accountability?
No, but I mean, it's worth trying. And this is an opportunity to make China pay. We've got to find a way of making them pay. Angus says, Facebook were banning people for saying that the China virus originated in Wuhan. I remember that. I was getting into trouble for saying that on this show and on social media. And people are like, you can't say that. Well, it turns out not only can we say that, we were right and everyone else was wrong.
I want to play the trumpet for you.
All those social media businesses like Facebook and Twitter who were banning people or shadow banning people or outright censoring them by removing their tweets and putting that COVID-19 warning on any of their posts, they were actually participating in helping to cover up for China.
Just put me you onto the headlines. This is yours, Craig. Over to you.
It's the headlines, Dave.
Sorry. Headlines. Nothing we can do. That's what it is. So that's what we've got. I just think if
anything fun in the headlines?
No, sorry, not this morning.
See, I missed that I missed that little thing you used to do about the good news of life.
Said by Sia.
The interesting, exciting good news of life.
You know, ever since I started waking up and my first thought is, what is going to hurt in my body today? it changed.
You're not that old.
Now, what is it? Is my ankle going to give in? Is my kneecap going to give in? Is like my right shoulder going to give in? Is a bone I didn't even know existed? Like, you know, it's on my spine going to give it. Ah, things change.
What the hell is wrong with you, Sia? What are you, like 16?
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of people are saying, well, don't forget that Fauci had a role in financing that laboratory. Yes, that's also absolutely true. And everybody said that, you know, Anthony Fauci is this great hero. And we all have to listen to Fauci. And if Fauci says we mustn't have masks, which he did say for a long time, then we take him very seriously. And then later on, he says you must wear masks. And it's okay that he's just completely switched his mouth and feet. But there we go. So who do you trust? Clearly not the people who you were trusting at the start of this pandemic. Just to say, look at how things have changed. All right, so we're going to speak to Elson Chigwere, who is a listener to the show. Elson's been on a number of times. And we've got to find out what's going on in Zimbabwe, you know. I mean, we spoke yesterday.
People are being fined goats.
I know.
Bodies are being exhumed.
Pumi, this is such a big deal. So
shit is going down.
We spoke about how Bob may be buried with the scepter that Emmerson Mnangagwa is trying to get back, because that is where the real power comes from. And thanks to Elson, we know all about this stuff. So I want to ask him what else is going on in Zim. But, I mean, there's so much to talk about here. It's just mad.
You know what? When I saw this a couple of weeks ago, I remember thinking to myself, there are so many problems on our continent, guys. Yeah. Here we are 2 days after Africa Day. Are we really, really concentrating on some voodoo story?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
About a scepter and exhumation. I'm like, of all the problems that Zimbabwe has,
this is what we've got.
This is what everybody is gripped in. This is what everybody is like worried about. Exhuming a dead president. I'm just like, fuck it, man.
So Elsa, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fantastic. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, man. Nice to hear from you. So listen, I couldn't believe when you sent me that story. I started reading and then I went down, if you'll pardon the pun of going down the hole, but I went down the rabbit hole of like looking up where Bob Mugabe was buried. Cause I mean, it kind of all just went quiet and there's no, like if you look on the internet, you find pictures of the funeral, but there's no grave site that you can see where people could go and visit or whatever. I mean, this was a man who ruled Zimbabwe for decades, and suddenly he just disappears. There's also a fight on about where exactly he should be buried. This is now years later. So what is
and
going
the
on?
Rites,
yeah.
The burial rites that were not performed.
Yes. So what's going on here?
And wasn't he supposedly buried in a coffin that has a camera
apparently it's got a camera, it has got a passcode.
Stop.
So, look, I don't know that to be a fact, but I heard about it. So, right before Bob died, he sat down with his wife, and he told his wife that when I die, number one, you do not leave my coffin or my body unattended. So when he died, if you've ever noticed any of the photos, either her or her sons were always by the coffin. The second thing is he was supposed to be buried at the Hero's Acre. But because the government and supposedly the current president has got access to the Hero's Acre, he then gave them strict instructions that he does not want to be buried there. He wants to be buried on his farm in Rimba. So everything was communicated. He even told the chiefs what his wishes were. So he died. Funeral was done. He got buried. Everybody was at his funeral, at his farm, including the chief, Minister of Home Affairs, and everybody.
So can I just ask, so is that the same chief that is currently finding grave?
That's why I gave context. That's the same guy. So fast forward now, supposedly that... there's infighting in the party. There's so much instability. The current president was told that firstly, supposedly the 16 chiefs who rule the country. So he was told that unless you have this scepter, you would never be able to rule this country. And supposedly the scepter was buried with Bob. So he then turns around and then he gives pressure again, supposedly, to the chief to get the body exhumed so he gets access to it. So the pressure. So then the chief summons Grace to come back and apparently blames her for burying this guy, which was not according to traditions, and that they have to exhume the body, and now the body has to be taken to the Hero's Acre. So all this supposedly is so they get their hands on the coffin and open the coffin.
Oh my God,
Elson! But why now? The president, the former president, has been gone for quite a while. Why did they only like realize now that he could possibly be buried with this?
So they realized it back then, right? But I guess he figured that he could still run the country without this supposed scepter. But because of what has been happening, the infighting, what you see on the news is just a tip of what's happening behind the scenes, where he is not able to control his own party. There are factions. The party is collapsing. So I guess he's a person that believes in supernatural, and so he was then told that the reason why this is happening is because you don't have the scepter. The reason why Bob ruled for as long as he did, and
because he had the scepter,
is because he had the scepter. The reason why you've been there for a couple of years and already people are turning against you is because you don't.
Oh wow!
Do you know the story of why this scepter supposedly has all this power? Do you want to tell the guys about that?
I'm not too sure, but what I did actually, I sent Sia a photo of when Bob was being handed the supposed scepter.
Oh wow! Look at that. So is that the one he was handed by whom? Yeah. Who's the person handing it to him?
So that guy is a witch doctor called Nduna who died. And that guy is the same one who then told the current president that this is what I gave Bob. And unless you have this, you might as well forget about ruling the country.
Wow. That's the one he was buried with. And that's the one that made him the ruler for as long as he was. Because we were all wondering how he did it. And it clearly, you know, it wasn't all the real world things like rigging elections or dismantling the MDC from without or being crooked and having people
chopping off people's hands if they vote for the MDC.
Exactly. None of that. It was the scepter after all, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I don't know how much there is behind that, but it's a circus, man.
How incredible.
So apparently, what I read was that this scepter belonged to it's actually ancient, and it wasn't this particular witch doctor who seems to have imbued it with this power, but that it actually goes back a couple of hundred years to some ruler in the it was. The story is mind-blowing, guys. It's mind-blowing to think that here is a president whose country is faced with so many problems.
Yeah.
And what he is completely engrossed by is not fixing the problems of his country, but finding the scepter. Because that is going to give him power.
For him.
It's mind-blowing.
But I'm consciously trying to make sure I stop frowning because this is so confusing to me.
Yeah, it is.
This seems like J.K. Rowling has sat and has put all of this together. What is happening?
So, Elson, where is Bob buried right now? Where is his body right now?
So his body is on the farm.
On the farm.
On his farm, yeah, which is a private property. And that's why not anybody who is not family is able to get access to it. But now here's the sad part of the story is it's been ruled, or the chief has now ruled that officially before the 1st of July, his body needs to be exhumed and reburied.
But they buried it under concrete.
And Christmas. And what's the fine? A goat or a cow? Like there's a fine that goes with the...
Again, so Grace was fined a couple of cows and a couple. What's crazy?
Hey, we can't hear you, Elson. You've gone off mic. We can't hear you.
Hi. Oh, what happened?
There we go.
Okay. I'm saying what's crazy is they were burying him. The same guy was present.
Yeah.
He was there and he gave his blessings.
Yes, but you understand, like, this is how it works. The higher up the tree you are, the more important. In this case, this chief knows that if he wants to keep making some money and have a good life for the rest of his life, he has to listen to what Emerson wants. Otherwise, Emerson will make his life very difficult. So to dig up someone dead is not a big deal to him.
Elson, I'm quite interested to know what the people outside of the corridors of Emerson's power and the chiefs and those people, what the people on the on the ground, as it were, how do people see all of this and how do they feel about all of this that's happening?
So people actually basically laughing, which is the point that I was about to raise. On Tuesday, that was Africa Unity Day. A multi-million dollar statue of a spirit medium called Mbuyamehan was put up, and you saw government officials take their shoes off, bow, pray, and right before that, by the way, the president went to receive food aid from South Africa. He leaves that ceremony to go and unveil a multi-million US dollar statue that has been erected. How ridiculous is this? Oh, and by the way, right after that, he gives the same chiefs brand new Isuzus, brand new vehicles. I can't make this up.
Yeah, well, you guys are gonna, you know what? In maybe about 5 to 10 years, when everyone in Zimbabwe is starved to death except the political class, they'll call a state capture commission because this is what we've learned, and then they'll haul all the ones who're still alive into the state capture commission, and maybe something will happen. Who knows? Elson, don't sound so negative about things. It'll be fine.
We get the government we deserve.
Exactly.
So you, like, the ordinary people are just like, Buku and Lafu.
People are amazed at how ridiculous this is. They cannot believe that this is actually stuff that people are taking seriously. Every one of the people that I've spoken to, making a mockery out of this.
Yeah. Is there anyone who can do anything about this? Because clearly, I mean, you know, the president is obviously superstitious because he needs the scepter. The chief will do whatever he's told. I almost feel sorry for Grace Mugabe. I thought I'd never utter those particular words, but there we go. She's, you know, her husband's going to be dug up basically and moved, and at the same time, his remains are going to be disturbed.
And she's not well. Hey, she's not well either.
She's been in hospital.
No, she's not. She's been in hospital in Singapore for a while. Which is a big part of why she couldn't come to this supposed kangaroo court, where she was supposed to answer questions as to why she buried her husband where she did. But look, she's just a wife. She's taking instructions.
Just a wife. I mean, just a wife, right?
Yeah, in the hierarchy, she doesn't matter.
Wow.
I mean, listen, at least Zimbabwe managed to deliver more coronavirus vaccine than South Africa has so far. That's something to be proud of, right?
Man, I don't know. Zim is just in a Zim is a horrible state. We don't know.
Are you saying that the vaccine hype is just that hype?
Yeah, there hasn't really been that much hype around the vaccine. The people are getting vaccinated, but not to the extent that they should, I guess.
Yeah. Well, listen, dude, I mean, I always, you know, I like talking to you because we all have lots of friends in Zimbabwe and we have lots of Zimbabwean friends here in South Africa. And I just feel like, you know, for some reason, God has chosen that Zimbabweans must suffer in this life. Zimbabweans must have a particularly shit time. And you just have not been given a break. And now you've got this from one crazy president to another. And it's all about some scepter. It's like a Disney story, but a horrible Disney story. That's all it is.
We want to listen. Best thing that we can do is just vote.
Yeah, well, if you're allowed to, and if they don't rig the elections.
For whom?
No. And who's there to vote for?
I don't know. A giraffe, a kangaroo, anybody but him.
Imagine if you could get a giraffe as your president. That would be fantastic. It would be an improvement. Oh, Jesus. All right, Elson, thanks so much, dude. It's always good to talk to you.
All right, man.
Very good. Take care. Yeah, thank you. I love those stories from Zim Pumi. That place is insane. It's insane.
No.
You know, when we talk about banana republics and we talk about places that are run like a spaza shop, I mean, a spaza shop is run way better than Zimbabwe's. You know? At least a spaza shop operates on market principles. But it is entertaining. And I mean, I can't believe that I'm as drawn into the story as I am, but I am. Like when Elson sent me the story,
that is because
I was looking at pictures, I was Googling stuff, I was checking that Bob Mugabe died in September 2019. So that's me, you know, it means it's like a year and a half already, almost 2 years almost.
And you were wondering what state of decomposition his body is in.
Absolutely. I was trying to find like a picture of the grave site so that I could at least convince myself that he was buried somewhere. You know, like you could find the grave site of someone who's buried 1,000 years ago in some cases. But this one you can't.
Dude.
No one knows.
When I read the story, what, maybe 3 weeks ago? Maybe a month ago now?
You were way ahead of us.
I was just like, what the fuck? Like, it's properly a what the actual. And it made me so angry. It made me so mad. If you're mad about, like, Oprah and Prince Harry.
Yeah, this is what gets you fired.
Made me so mad because I am just like, people are going hungry. Children are dying. Mm-hmm. It's just, and what? What, you're worried about some like magical sector?
Yeah, correct.
I was just like,
well, this
and,
is this.
And the fact that it's not just him, it's him and all the people around him. It's these chiefs. It's the people in his party. I'm just like, well, if he was all on his own on this bus,
sure.
But it's him. It's the people in the party. It's the people at the court. It's the chief as they're holding this trial.
So here's a comment from Snai Zulu, who says, another failing African leader trying to blame invisible forces. There's something wrong there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Another failing African leader trying to blame invisible forces for his failures. Surprise, surprise. That's exactly right. It's just it's a disaster. But I mean, can you believe that story about the statue? That's another one. I didn't know about that until today. So they unveil like a statue that costs millions of US dollars and they're asking for food aid from us. Unreal. So we're going to get into the burning platform a little bit later on with Wayne Duvenage, who we haven't seen for a while. And we're going to speak to him about all the things that he's involved in. You know, of course, he's with OUTA, the organization undoing tax abuse, something we can all get behind. And we'll also find out about some of the stories in the news and what he thinks of those. There's obviously this very messy situation with Zweli Mkhize and a business called Digital Vibes. Huh?
What do you imagine that they couldn't even come up with a serious sounding name?
No. So this may be the reason that Zweli Mkhize has to step down. And remember when everybody was calling Zweli Mkhize's praises out during coronavirus? Oh, he's such a good minister of health. Thank goodness we've got him. He's so great. And now look, meanwhile, he's been involved in a whole lot of this as well.
Take a drive through Pietermaritzburg. Speak to some people in that town and none of them were calling his praises.
Oh, really?
None of them. Oh.
Maritzburg.
Zweli Mkhize.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to speak to Wayne in a little while. I know Pumi has to go. You've got mom duties, right?
I said to say, and I completely forgot about this, and this is my profuse apology to everyone. I actually have a shoot, which starts in about an hour or so, and I have to like pick up people. I have to go. Don't feel bad. Can't be my fun.
All right, Pums. We will catch up with you next week. But have a very good day. And
I'm gonna miss you guys.
Yeah, cool. Cheers, Pumi. We'll speak to you later. There's Phumi Mashego, and we were going to speak to Wayne Duvenage just now. He's going to tell us what he's up to, and we'll also catch up with his point of view and his comments on some of the affairs in the news. You know how it goes on the Burning Platform, and today will be no different. We're coming right up with that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com. Stick around.
CliffCentral.com.